This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Summer blahs got you down? Based on results of a casual survey of kids at summer camp, maybe you need to take a hike.
Time in nature has been linked to better mental health. So specifically, it's been linked to improved mood as well as reductions in depression and anxiety.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is provided by Hope Gas, committed to the growth and development of West Virginia to strengthen the community. Information at wvisforhope.com. The ACLU of West Virginia and the Trump administration have reached a final agreement on the status of a Marshall University student that was singled out for deportation just before graduation. The international student, who is originally from India and wants to be identified as SV, had a student visa revoked in April, a month shy of graduation. The ACLU assisted the student with the lawsuit. Under the final agreement, the administration is reversing the actions it took against the student and will not repeat them. The Trump administration began restoring in April the status of thousands of international students, including ACLUWV's clients at Marshall and WVU, who had been unlawfully targeted. This is a formal agreement on that process. The city of Huntington has launched a pilot program designed to eliminate homelessness among military veterans. Maria Young reports.
Mission Zero has an aggressive goal to identify every homeless veteran in Huntington and get them housed within 30 days. Mayor Patrick Farrell's office kicked it off with a gathering of social workers, health care providers, and other partners at Harris Riverfront Park on Tuesday. Farrell's senior advisor, Jan Rader, says the partnerships are needed to provide support for long-term success.
A lot of our unsheltered population do suffer from substance use disorder and severe mental illness, and they have the right to refuse medication or treatment if it's offered to them. And so we want to find creative ways to keep them engaged.
Rader says Mission Zero hopes the successes will lead to similar projects with other homeless populations. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Maria Young.
The Public Service Commission is accepting public comments on proposed electric rate increases. Jack Walker has more.
Appalachian Power and Wheeling Power filed for a rate increase in April that would raise customer prices by an average of roughly 3%. Now the commission is hosting virtual and in-person hearings for public comment on what would be a $72 million total increase. The public comment hearing will be held August 11 at 5:30 p.m. It will be followed by an evidentiary hearing August 12 at 9:30 a.m. Both hearings will be held in Charleston. Members of the public can provide written or verbal comments to the commission during the first hearing. For more information, visit our website at wvpublic.org. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jack Walker in Shepherdstown.
A basketball team of West Virginia University alumni will compete in the semifinals of the basketball tournament today. As Chris Schultz reports, it's a step toward the $1 million prize.
West Virginia will make its second ever appearance in the Final Four of the basketball tournament, an open invitation single elimination tournament played each summer since 2014. They will face off against Eberline Drive at the Charleston Coliseum and Convention Center at 6 p.m., and the game will be broadcast on Fox Sports Channel FS1. West Virginia, along with Marshall University alumni team Heard That, have been the tournament's regional hosts at the Coliseum since it kicked off July 18th. If West Virginia wins Thursday, they will advance to the championship game August 3rd and possibly gain the opportunity to host the title game at the Coliseum. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Chris Schultz in Morgantown.
The Allegheny Front, based in Pittsburgh, is a public radio program that reports on environmental issues in the region. Here's their latest story about the Environmental Protection Agency's recent decision about greenhouse gas emissions and their impact on climate change.
The Trump administration is dumping the legal underpinning in the fight against climate change. This is the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Carol Holsapple. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin announced Tuesday that the agency would move to rescind an Obama-era declaration called the Endangerment Finding. Basically, that greenhouse gases are warming the planet and threatening public health. Pennsylvania is a top emitter of industrial greenhouse gases. The endangerment finding provided the scientific basis for the government to limit emissions from vehicles, power plants, and other sources.
What's the significance? How big is the endangerment finding? Well, repealing it will be the largest deregulatory action in the history of America.
Yeah.
That's Zeldin on a conservative podcast explaining that the endangerment finding is central to what he calls the climate change agenda.
So this has been referred to as basically driving a dagger into the heart of the climate change religion.
Environmental groups say it's not religion, it's science. Diane Pataki, chief scientist at the National Wildlife Federation, says there's no question that greenhouse gas emissions are contributing to climate change.
The science was very clear when the finding was released in 2009, and since then there's been so much more evidence. It's now just clear to the naked eye. Everyone can see the impacts on human health and feel the impacts on human health.
The Allegheny Front's Julie Grant spoke with UCLA environmental law professor Ann Carlson, who worked in the Biden administration.
The U.S. Supreme Court determined back in 2007 that greenhouse gases were covered under the Clean Air Act, which is what led to the endangerment finding and various regulations.
And now the Trump administration is saying, well, we don't need to regulate altogether because it turns out greenhouse gases don't really harm us. So then all the rules that the Biden administration issued, there's rules for trucks, there's rules, two separate rules for cars, there's rules for power plants, there's rules for oil and gas facilities that leak methane. All of those just essentially would disappear because there's no legal basis anymore for issuing those rules. In my view, there is no legal basis for that kind of ruling.
Well, one argument Administrator Zeldin is making to rescind the endangerment finding is the cost. He's put the price on climate regulations at $1 trillion.
That is undermined by countless studies that show as much as six times the benefits from mitigating climate change than the cost of what those regulations cost. They're saying a number of things. One is, you know, it turns out climate change really isn't that damaging, which is ironic given that we just lost 135 or more people in some of the worst floods in Texas history, clearly made worse because of climate change. We lost 30 people in my own hometown of Los Angeles in two separate fires in January. The estimates are that those are going to cost about $164 billion in property damage. Every day on the ground, we're seeing evidence of climate change. And yet one argument is, turns out climate change isn't that expensive.
So now that Zeldin has made this announcement, what's next?
This is a proposed rescission of the endangerment finding. It still needs to go through process before it can be finalized. It's a comment period, and then the agency actually has to consider the comments and then go through an obscure agency called OIRA, which is an executive branch agency that evaluates all significant proposals, and then issue a final rule. And that typically takes it probably another year.
That was the Allegheny Front's Julie Grant speaking with UCLA environmental law professor Ann Carlson. That's the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Carol Holsapple.
The Allegheny Front is based in Pittsburgh and reports on regional environmental news. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:53. Areas of fog this morning, variable cloudiness today, chance of rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 80s. Rain and thunderstorms tonight with lows in the 60s and 70s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, cooler with chance of rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 70s. Support for WVPB is provided by the Charleston Theater, presenting Jillian Welch and David Rawlings on Saturday, September 27th. Ticket information at the Coliseum box office or Ticketmaster.com. We're in the dog days of summer, and for some families, it means juggling schedules to send kids to camp. Maybe you're trying to find a way to fit in another weekend camping trip before school starts back in August. As hectic as all this sometimes is, science backs up the importance of giving kids space to explore in nature. Radio IQ's Roxy Todd visited one summer camp in Southwest Virginia to hear how kids feel about the time spent in nature.
A dozen kids and teenagers are eating lunch at New River State Park. Like many people their age, they talk about movies and video games. But these kids are spending most of this week exploring the forest and river.
I like to spend a lot of time out in the wild.
This is Mason Cox's second year attending Junior Ranger Camp. Last year, he got to visit places he's never seen.
We went caving, and we had a blast.
This week-long day camp is for kids aged 11 to 14. They go fishing, practice archery, and go tubing and snorkeling in the New River. Most of the campers say they prefer to spend a lot of their summer outside, hunting for berries, fishing, and riding bikes. But not all of their classmates at school feel the same way, says 14-year-old Chandler Blankenship.
A lot of people think, oh, inside's so great. But no, when you go outside, you see a lot more than just the TV. I feel alive, so that's why I like going outside more.
Another camper, Wren Patrick, agrees.
I would say not a lot of kids in my school like to go out or would hike and stuff.
Even many of these kids who prefer the outdoors say they don't have as much time to spend playing outside as they wish because of school or their parents' work schedules.
A lot of the current generation are so overscheduled with extracurriculars and other things that they're not having that unstructured time.
Rosanna Bro is an associate professor of psychology at Virginia Tech. She says there's a lot of research to support that playing outside in nature has a wide range of benefits for children's brain development and mental health.
Time outdoors or time in nature has been linked to better mental health. So specifically, it's been linked to improved mood as well as reductions in depression and anxiety and stress.
Bro says time outdoors also tends to be less structured and more imaginative than time spent on screens. This helps kids be more creative problem solvers and critical thinkers.
You're letting kids just have that time outside to be creative.
She says summer camps can help provide space and freedom for kids to rediscover activities they enjoy doing outdoors. For the kids at the Junior Ranger Camp, it also means they can safely explore wild places with park rangers and community naturalists who teach the science about plants and animals. After lunch, the campers are introduced to some of the small animals that live in the river. 13-year-old Emily Gravely peers into a plastic container to look at a crawdad.
Oh, wait, that's really cool.
It unexpectedly reaches out a claw towards her.
Oh, my God.
Gravely is startled, but unharmed, and she uses a microscope to peer at the underbelly of the crawdad, as well as a water beetle. After learning about the creatures, the campers walk down to the river in their life vests. They step in the river, peering through orange cones that magnify what's beneath the water. Some use nets to scoop up what they find.
I got a fish! I got a snail!
They put the animals in small plastic containers so the other campers can study them. After the lesson, they release the animals back into the river.
Got a crawdad.
Oh, I got two!
They spend the next hour and a half learning science, but the lesson is informal, fun, and in the afternoon heat, most of the campers also swim a little and splash each other as they're studying what lives beneath the New River. In Wythe County, I'm Roxy Todd.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University and Marshall University School of Journalism and Mass Communications. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Maria Young, and Randy Yowie. Maria Young produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.
Every day, WVPB strengthens our community by showcasing the depth and variety of news and entertainment. That's because WVPB is a community-supported public media service, but not everybody knows that. WVPB is asking you to donate and spread the word. Simply text, chat, or post on social media and encourage everyone to listen and support WVPB. Together, we can make our community even stronger. Thank you.
This is WVPB Charleston, WVBY Beckley, WVBL Bluefield, WVPW Buchanan, WVWV Huntington, WVEP Martinsburg, WVKM Matewan, WVPM Morgantown, WVPG Parkersburg, WVDS Petersburg, WVWS Webster Springs, WVNP Wheeling, and we're online at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Public Broadcasting. It's 8 o'clock.